Good evening, guys and dolls. It is Sunday, August 12th, 2012, and you're now listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, Sandra London of toliveandgrindinla.com, broadcasting to you live from the sunny beaches of Southern California in connection with Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, Digital Podcast, iTunes, and Naked Girls Radio. I will start out tonight's broadcast with the song Tommy Tornado by Noise Problems. Here you go. That was the group Noise Problems with their song Tommy Tornado. I'll play one more song and then share a bit of news about the Olympics and other lovely things. But yes, please enjoy this next song. It's called Tremors and it's by Kyle Young. Check it out.
How are you doing that?
It's a magic carpet.
It's lovely.
You don't want to go for a ride, do you? We could get out of the palace, see the world.
Is it safe?
Sure, do you trust me? Trust me? Trust me?
Roll up the block for paper planes, let's get high. Roll up the good, I got a five, let's get high. Oh my, I got, I never been so damn high. Lips. Slow-mo in real time to some bomb piss. Lost in your sexy persona. The way you hit a blow.
blunders like a veteran smoker. Medical bow blows with the headies will choke you. You'll be dead when I poke you like the end of a roach. Yeah, eyes low as I blow you a shotgun. You a gangster and I know that you want one. You can cop one, come close to my Glock, hun. Blow it in your face, take it in, swap gum. We could fuck in a moment, other Dutch. You can roll it, I'ma watch, cause you're sexy and you know it. Feeling good like my sack that you holding. Two big nugs and a rap that is golden. Whoa. An immaculate roasting takes a lighter out. Goddamn magical potion. Up. Roll up the blunt for paper planes, let's get high. Roll up the good, I got a five, let's get high. Oh my, I got, I never been so damn high. Roll up a blunt, I poke your cunt, let's get high. Come on, let's fly, baby girl. Magic carpet ride, baby girl. We'll go so high, baby girl. I'm on the fly, baby girl. I'm in a trance, feeling like an animal. In a cage that was built out of panties, yo. Can we blow some more for you to climb on top? You love me when I'm wild and I got the iron cock. I love you when you high and you don't mind a drop. And the sun wouldn't shine if you and I ever stopped. I'm talking crazy, but right now we building chemtrails. After we done, I'ma sketch you with a pencil. You kiss well, you lick well, my dick swells. Pussy wetter than a fucking sunken ship sail. We playing just a tip now. You remind me of a princess with a rip veil. Something naughty and I see you bitch your lip, wow. This position is the best and we could take another hit, wow. We fall into a big cloud. I'm lifted, tripped out, and your tits is out. Come on, let's fly, baby girl. Carpet ride, baby girl. We'll go so high, baby girl. I'm on the fly, baby girl. Hit me. Roll up the blunt for paper planes, let's get high. Roll up the good, I got a vibe, let's get high. Oh my, I got, I never been so damn.
That was the song Tremors by Kyle Young. Okay, so spoiler alert for anybody that is planning on watching a whole bunch of stuff in regards to the Olympics and they don't want to hear, please tune out for like the next 3 minutes or so. Yeah, anyways, so for the 2012 London Olympics, it was spread over 19 days, beginning on July 25th. Today was the closing ceremony, and I guess some highlights include Jamaica and U.S. They set world records in the men's 4x100-meter relay and the women's 4x100-meter relay. What else? of the 204 National Olympic Committees, 85 of them received at least one medal, and 54 of them won at least one gold medal. And Bahrain, Botswana, Cyprus, Gabon, Grenada, Guatemala, and Montenegro each won their first Olympic medal ever, and Grenada's first Olympic gold medal ever was gold, or is gold. So, woohoo! And I guess the official tally of wins has the U.S. coming out on top with 104 medals, and then there's China with 87 medals, and Great Britain with 65. And then rounding out the top 10 is Russia, South Korea, Germany, France, Italy, Hungary, and Australia. So, yay, congratulations, everyone. And I guess for anybody that wants to be able to look at more in-depth information about that, just check out London2012.com. I remember a few days ago when Usain Bolt was, in a different race earlier in the Olympics. He was no match for Sarah, who was a cheetah, who was in an animal sanctuary or habitat, I believe in the U.S. She was the only being to run faster than him. But beat him she did, but still, for humans, he's super. That's all I can say about that. So yes, I hope everyone has been able to enjoy the events that they like to watch, and we're happy with the outcomes of those. I don't know. I like watching the gymnastics and track and field, and I caught a bit of the gymnastics, and I was very, very happy to see how well Gabby Douglas did, and pretty much the whole American team. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I'm sure there is more, but alas, you have London2012.com at your disposal. So, yes. I'm going to go ahead and play a song for you right now, and I believe I will go ahead and read my latest erotic poem. It's an erotic short poem called The Whitewash. I will read that in just a little bit, and later on in the broadcast, I will have Silent J as my special guest for this evening, and I'm sure there's going to be good times because he had me on his show last year, last July, 2011, and he was very funny and compelling, and the two guests that were on that show were awesome, amazing, very talented, and I'm very, stoked, excited to catch back up with Silent J, see what he's been up to, and he is revamping his show. I believe his first one was just last night after a hiatus, so I want to be informed on that. I'm sure you guys will have a ball, a great, great time as well, but let me go ahead and play a song for you. I'm going to play Pretty In It by the Subway Strippers, and I'll be right back with you. This is Sandra London, and you're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. Here you go. Amway Strippers with their song Pretty In It. More of their music and more of Kyle Young's music can be heard on Naked Girls Radio. And let me go ahead and give you one more song really, really quick, and then I'll go ahead and read my latest erotic short poem. But yes, I will play. Ooh, where'd it go? I'm going to play. Nice Ass. Ooh. I'm going to play Nice Ass by Ulterior Motives, and I'll be right back with you. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And here is Ulterior Motives with Nice Ass. I played, it was Tommy Tornado, and I was looking through some local news for, like, I guess, Southern California-ish area. But I guess a tornado touched down in Lake Elsinore at like 4:30 p.m. earlier today. I guess it was spotted along Highway 74, just west of the 15. And it's the second day in a row that they've had really extreme weather. That's so curious. How interesting. Anyways, alrighty. Yes, you can read more about that on, I guess, KTLA.com, or just look it up on the National Weather Service. But yeah, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. Alrighty. I will read my latest erotic poem. It's called The Whitewash, and I've been wanting to make an erotic short for a while with that title and with the theme already in mind, but it took a while for, I don't know, some sort of prose to come to mind. I don't know, it's a little short, a little bitty. I hope you like it, but I'll go ahead and read it right now, and it's called The Whitewash. Okay. Slipping down these walls, sweet remnants of your balls. They cannot walk, they crawl, they rise before the fall. 10 million, all in all. Zygotes, nemrotic dolls, echo your nightly call. The end. That's it. Yes, I published that like, what was it, Thursday, on Thursday, August 9th. It's available with pictures, lovely, lovely pictures, captured by Tony Donaldson, an awesome photographer. He shot me in, I believe, Chatsworth area in a tunnel. Yes, in the state of undress. That's awesome. Yay. And let's see. And I had like a cute little summer bites of advisory for how hot it is, not only in Southern California, but kind of all over the continental U.S. Last month was like a record, I guess, for how hot it was, I guess, cumulatively throughout the continental U.S. For the month of July, like ever on record. I believe the national average or national domestic, or continental average was 73. So that's all these states all together on dry land, hot as all heck. Average, on average. Yes, I'll read that perhaps a little bit later, but I'll go ahead and play perhaps some erotica for you. I'll play Stockings and Bonds, and then I will be right back with you. With more intel, and then the amazing, awesome, fabulous Silent J. But let me go ahead and give you Stockings and Bonds, part one. Here you go.
Fishnet stockings is sexy.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
Do you?
Absolutely. I think.
And what do you smoke?
Cigarettes.
What brand?
Oh, Marlboro.
Ding, 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 ding. That's so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, we're two peas in a pod, because so do I.
We should smoke together forever.
Very forward of you, mister. You called me in. What did you want to see me about, other than this forever business?
Well, I love the dress. I think it's very pretty. But I see those stockings that you're wearing, and I just kind of wonder how high up they go.
Oh, to the heavens. To the Valley of Eden.
Wow. I've never been there. They tell me it's nice.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're missing out, buddy.
Maybe you can show me what the heavens look like.
Maybe. Maybe.
Please.
Please? You don't sound convincing enough.
Okay.
I need to hear the real.
Okay.
Begging and pleading, mister.
You want to see a grown man cry?
Again?
Ouch.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Here it goes.
Let me know.
Please. Please take off the dress. I'm begging you.
No bueno. Not good at all.
Take off the goddamn dress.
Try harder.
Okay. Do it for the people. For the people that are watching. Well,
first, for them to see it, you got to be convincing enough. You got to make me want to do it. I'm not convinced right now. I'm waiting.
If I had $1 million, I'd go put it in the bank, come back and tell you, hey, I got $1 million in the bank. Now, can I see your stockings?
What's that got to do with me?
Nothing.
In my bank account?
I'm just happy because I have
How much of that is going in my bank account?
I'll give you half.
And you'll sign to that?
Mm-hmm. But first...
You're on. No more. Let's start.
Melody. Yes. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm Sandra London, and the call-in number is 858-815-2333. And I'll go ahead and read real quick my little summer bites of advisory for how hot it is lately. Okay, this was published on livinggrandla.com on Wednesday, August 8th, 2012. Alrighty, here we go. Triple-digit heat is making a wave this summer. Tip number one, never leave children, elderly people, or pets alone in a parked car. Yes, if you have to be out and about in the blazing rays of Ra with any other life forms present, you must keep them in your presence, or they may not be very lifelike upon return. Tip number two, wear light, loose-fitting clothing to stay cool, or just let it all hang out, or not. Tip number three, drink water often. And remember that sweating is a good thing, because moisture is the essence of beauty. Hee-hee, Zoolander reference. What is this? Tip number four, stay in an air-conditioned area during peak heat hours, such as a mall, park, or library. Spend, see, sit. Hey, I can do all that from home. Freedom of movement, in and out of the boxes that be. Good times. Tip number five, avoid unnecessary sun exposure by wearing a hat when outdoors. Yay, now I've got a reason to rock a sexy, gaudy parasol, Gone with the Wind era style. Bliss. Tip number six, don't exercise vigorously outside during the hottest hours of the day. Save your wildest playtime for nighttime, at least for this week, and continue at or into dawn with breakfast in bed. And if you're outside, just remember to use your indoor voice. More hot as the Dickens tips on keeping cool are available on Antonovich.com. Yes. So please stay cool. I hope you enjoyed that. And I will go ahead and give you another song here and a bit more tidbits and trivia and the like. But here you go. I'm going to give you a song. I'll give you let's do Rain by Frank Joshua. That'll help you cool off, eh? Here we go.
I take hold of this heart, study its parts.
That was Frank Joshua with the song Rain. More of his music is available on Naked Girls Radio, and I believe I have a caller, so I will be answering right about now.
Hey, Sandra, how you doing?
Sandra Radio. Oh, hi. Hello. Is this Silent J himself?
This is.
Hi. What's going on? You're live on the air.
Yes, hi. Great show. I like it.
You do? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I learned from the best, baby.
I try. I try to pass along my talents.
Yes, yes. So, what's up? I was like, you know, trying to see if I could listen to one of your more recent episodes. I know you had a hiatus, but what's up? Did you reignite your broadcasting fire yesterday?
I've actually had an FM show in the town I live in for the last year, so I've been a little preoccupied with that, but it seems I got into a little trouble with the FCC, so I kind of, my hiatus from that now.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Is it, like, top secret? You can't talk about it, or?
No, just, I guess, I got a little too passionate on my show, and I said some things I shouldn't have said.
Passion? Okay, wait. Passion involving politics? Music,
politics,
liberty.
Humor. The gist of the show is it's called DIY Punk and Politics with Silent J. So I play punk rock and I talk about politics. And
dangerous.
I let my mouth get the better of myself.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Well, does that mean you're voting or not voting?
I'm not
this election cycle.
No.
Really?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Nice. Well, hey, it's not compulsory, right? In the U.S., you don't have to.
No, and I think if I don't vote, I'll be able to say what I want about whoever wins and not be a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we can't always know which actions somebody's going to undertake when you give them your vouch or something. Huh. It was funny. I was just falling asleep when Romney was announcing his VP, but when I woke up, it was reconfirmed for me. So that's kind of interesting. I just wanted to know who I may or may not like, but who I just want to know more about. And it's pretty interesting. I don't know. But I guess on the bright side, to start it out, what was it, Romney, he spent time in France as a missionary for Mormonism,
mm-hmm.
and his wife studied French, so, hey, we've got that in common.
Yes, you do. I forgot you
Although
were...
I'm not Mormon, but we got the French thing in common. Let me be clear. Go ahead.
I forgot you were bilingual. I forgot all about you being able to speak French.
Yes, but I'm not Mormon, so, yeah, we don't have that in common, but the French part we do. And have you, I know you did a couple tours of duty as, while you were serving in the Army, like, did you go to fun, exciting, interesting places, or all, like, look over your shoulder?
I was in Egypt in 2001, and that was pretty interesting, but I was in Iraq in 2003 and 2007.
And how was that?
It was interesting. It was a life-changing experience both times. And I kind of learned to appreciate life, and actually I try to do everything I want to do now. After my last tour ended in 2008, I always had dreams. I always wanted to do, you know, this and that. I wanted to get into comedy. I wanted to get into radio. And I always did that, what if, you know, maybe one of these days. But when I came back in 2008, I said I was gonna set out and do everything that I've ever wanted to accomplish in life.
Okay. Well, then, when you were in Egypt, then in 2001, were you there like during September 11th? It was right after.
Right after September 11th. Yeah.
Just after. Oh. Okay. So, what was day to day? life like in general, I guess, as far as, like, did you have to get vaccinated so that you wouldn't get sick or any of these things? Because when I was in school, when I was at UCSB as an undergrad, I wanted to do Peace Corps potentially afterwards, and, like, I wanted to go to Morocco. I know that's not terribly far from Egypt, but I know that there's different things you may or may not have to do, like, physically, just to protect against the elements or whatever. Did you have to do that?
Oh, my God. I've had more pills and more shots and more things going to my body. I'm surprised my child came out normal. I've had to take anthrax shots numerous times. I had to take malaria pills, which those are not good pills. Those are not. Those beat up your body.
Do they detox you after, or you just kind of?
No. In 2004. In 2004, when I came back, there were so many troops coming back and going. They really didn't have when I say they, I mean the government and the VA didn't really have a grasp on, you know, how to introduce us back into a society and home life. And they just gave us a bunch of pills when we came home. And, you know, I had a little bit of an issue with that in 2004, but, you know, stop doing that. And but now I don't take pills. The only pills I actually take now are a multivitamin and ibuprofen every once in a while. I'm very much anti-medication.
Right. Okay. So with the whole malaria thing, like, is it akin to, like, I know there are articles, like, years ago with, like, oh, army wives or this, that, or the other, they can get, like, breast surgery or all these types of things free because the doctors are, like, experimenting in a way, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, is it in that same category?
Oh, yeah. The anthrax shots that we got, there was a series of, to be honest with you, I don't even remember how many, maybe seven or eight, and then a yearly booster. And you get shots, and it's, now I think, I think somebody actually took the government to court or the military, the Department of Defense to court, and they don't actually administer the shots anymore. So that right there says a lot. And I missed a booster one year, so I had to get the entire series over again. So I think I have enough anthrax in my body to kill a small nation.
Nice. And what about keeping cool in the hot-ass Middle East and Africa and all this?
You can't.
Does that even exist? Is it even possible?
I actually, people say there's no such thing as a climate change. I beg to differ. Of course, it was extremely hot there, but I actually saw snow in Baghdad in 2007, and they had not seen snow in, like, 50 years. But in terms of the heat,
how does the locals feel about that?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
They didn't like the snow at all. They were like, you know, what the hell is this? one guy was convinced that it was a weapon that the Americans were using. So no, we're not bringing the snow with us.
How can that be disproven, though? Really, I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things, whether you believe it or not, if you're in the desert and it's 140 degrees in 1 month and a few months later it's snowing.
You just enjoy the snow.
Yeah, you just kind of look up and be like, all right, great, I'm glad I get to roll around in the mud today.
Nice.
But picture the heat over there. I mean, we got all our gear on and all of our equipment, and, you know, it's not like we're wearing shorts and a T-shirt. We got our boots or all of our gear, our helmet, and our rucksack and a weapon. You could be carrying anything from an extra 40 to 80, 90 pounds on you.
A fellow comrade, right? So.
Yeah, and it depends on what your job is in regards to what you're carrying around with you. But it was hellacious. I was a gunner in 2003, so I was on top of a vehicle, a lead gunner. And when you have a 135 degrees.
But how are you secured up there? Are you strapped up? Are you just going to hold on to, like, the window?
Now the they have great, they have amazing equipment that the government's invested a lot of time and energy and money into, where you're nice and safe and you have a nice turret with bulletproof glass around you. But in 2003, I was literally sitting on a piece of plywood on top of a Humvee with a hole cut out, and I had nothing to protect me, nothing around me.
Wow.
So it was, you get kind of a different feeling to you. You kind of, I call it the Superman complex. You feel like you're invincible while you're over there. If you were able to come back in one piece, I'm literally driving through, you know, a war zone, and
right.
I have nothing to protect me. And we were my units, I can't say this about all units, we were so ill-equipped and ill-prepared. We didn't even have enough body armor, so we were borrowing each other's plates to put on our back and to put on our chest. Now it's, you know, it's so advanced, they even have a groin protector. But
back in
2003, it was the Wild West over there. It really was. And I used to wear a bandana around my neck. I really felt like I was John Wayne.
Oh, so you're living the dream then.
I was living the dream. I was awestruck. I was a little kid playing with G.I. Joes and playing Army and playing war, and now I was actually doing it. I was in my early 20s at the time, 24 years old, and just loving life, you know, getting mortar shot at us every night, and you didn't know if you were going to wake up, but it was fun. It was really exciting. As you grew older, when I was over there in 2007,
are you saying this in hindsight? Or you still feel that way, or you thought it was fun at the time? Oh, okay.
I look back at it, it was still fun because I wasn't married, I didn't have a child, I was, you know, young and free and able to, you know, experience, I guess, life at its fullest in terms of adrenaline. And I look back on it, I wouldn't have changed anything I did over there in the beginning of the war. Now it's a little bit different. When I was over there a few years ago, you know, at the time I was married, I had a newborn baby, and you know, I'm a little bit older. I was going on 30 at the time, and I was 7, 8, 9 years older than my troops, and I kind of took on the fatherly role. And
what made you want to go into the military then? Because I know a lot of people tend to go directly out of high school, ish, like fairly young. What made you want to go at 30?
To be honest with you, I was not the best kid growing up. I was kind of a terror to my family and to society. And so after high school, I kicked around for a few years doing odd jobs and a lot of different substances. And one day I woke up and I think I was 20 at the time, 21. And I just said, you know, I've always wanted to serve. I always wanted to be in the Army. I heard stories from my grandfather, and you know, let's do it. At the time, this was before 9/11, so I didn't think we were going to go to war. You know, little did I realize we were going to be in two wars over a good portion of a decade. And so it made things interesting. I didn't do it for the college. I didn't do it to go fight a war because there was no war at the time. And I just did it for... to say I did it, and now I'm 12 years later, I'm still in, and it's one of those things. It's an addiction now. It's like I can't really shake it, even though I want to, but you know, it's still a part of me. It's always going to be a part of me, and now I've taken on the role of being a leader and being a mentor for younger soldiers, and to try to get them to not do what I did early on in my career. And be reckless like I was. So.
Wait, so you mean you were reckless initially when joining as well?
Oh yeah, I was the anti-soldier. You know, I always had that pride, but I really was.
How did you slip through?
yeah, Yeah, I was still a pain in the ass. I was a pain in the ass to my leadership and my bosses and to my fellow soldiers. My fellow soldiers loved me, but I was more of a train wreck. I didn't really respect it when I first came in. I always loved it. I always did what I was told to do, and I did what I had to do, but I did it in my own special way, which I still do. You know, I'm still not polished, and you take somebody of equal rank to me and equal amount of time and experience, they're kind of like Mitt Romney. They're very polished and practiced and perfect in what they do, and I am not the Mitt Romney of the military, I can tell you that much.
Well, neither is he.
Maybe like the JFK. Yeah.
Ooh, that's my dog's initials. Isn't that awesome? I have a little doggy. His initials are JFK, so. Anyway, well, I want to ask you even more, because I'm, endlessly fascinated by, the military and all these types of things. But I'm going to play a song real quick. And if you can hold the line, can you do that? I'll be right back with you. Everyone listening in, I'm going to play Lele by the Brazilian group Axial, and I'll be right back with my interview with Silent J. If you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. Here's that song.
Lele, por que tu foi embora? Lele, por que tu foi embora? Por que me deixaste aqui, Lele? Ah, eu penso em tu toda hora. Lele, por que tu foi embora? Lele, por que tu foi embora? Por que me deixaste aqui? Ai, Lele, eu penso em tu toda.
Axial with the song Lele. Now we'll get Silent J back on the line.
Hey, I'm back.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yes. Okay, yes. So I guess at least one more question about your military time. Egypt. Any experiences to share? When I was living in France, there are a couple of friends of mine who went to Egypt to go surfing and stuff like that. And they're like, it's awesome, it's great, it's cool. I don't know. Or some went to see pyramids and all. But
you know, I wish I had the worst, maybe in all of mankind, the worst trip to Egypt ever. I never got to see the pyramids or the Sphinx or go to Alexandria or anything like that. It was right after 9/11, so everything was on lockdown for us, and we couldn't travel or do anything. I mean, the only real experience that I had in Egypt was I realized how bad of a nation they are at driving. They're terrible drivers.
Really? Are they as bad as like Italian drivers, or I don't even know. There's other places that are supposed to be bad. Really? Oh. Well, then don't drive.
No. No. If you go to Egypt, hire a driver.
Okay, so they can battle it. They can battle the roads, just getting you from like point A to point B, like grocery store.
Yeah, they shut their headlights off at night. They drive with their headlights off at night, and it's kind of scary.
Wow. Well, I know there's a friend of mine who actually works for like a telecommunications company out there who like he had a dog and he had to like watch it all the time because like the locals did not understand how you keep a dog as a pet. Like
they really don't get it.
That's sad. Dogs are awesome.
I have a puppy. Well, he's not really a puppy anymore. Seven month old beagle, and I don't know how anybody would want to eat a dog.
They eat them? Or wait.
Yeah, a lot of countries eat dogs over, you know, over in the...
I knew other countries. I didn't know that Egypt did. Oh, no.
I don't know. I knew a guy in Iraq that he ate dog. Egypt, I'm not too sure, but Iraq, yeah, once in a while.
Darn it. Okay, why don't... Aww. All right, well, do you plan to go back to Egypt just to see, like, what you didn't get to see beforehand? Maybe?
Maybe one day. It's not on my things to do list right now. There's a couple other countries I would like to visit first. I've always wanted to go... Spain and France. Spain and France. I would love to take a backpacking trip across the region.
Oh, you should. You should take. You have one child.
Yes.
Okay, you should take. Yeah, your family. On a big like bon voyage all across Europe. I think you'll have a great time. I've only spent the most amount of time as far as Spain and Barcelona, but Barcelona is a lot of fun. Very, very fun, very relaxed, like, casual, Las Ramblas area is super, like, just, like, the energy is amazing. It's awesome. Great music. Of course, all over France. So, I don't know if you guys ever need a tour guide. Yes. But I hope you guys make it out there. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think my daughter will. She wants to be a fashion designer. She's six, and she's dead set on being a fashion designer and moving to Paris. And she wants us to go to school in Paris and be a fashion designer. So.
Right on. Awesome. Awesome. Cool. All right, so tell me about, like, your music interests, because you're like a bass player. Do you still work with that band or play with that band or not so much anymore? You play individually or?
Not so much anymore. I just play for the love of it by myself. I am playing the bass and the drums and a couple other instruments I'm tinkering around with to try to opened up my musical horizons. But I want to get into a band again. I think that's besides radio, I think music is always my first love, and I love music, and I'm kind of getting into more and different types of music as I'm getting older.
Huh. Yeah, well, you should check out some of the artists. I'm going to go ahead and do a plug on Naked Girls Radio if you want to meet up with some people that might want more band members. I know they're out based in the Chicago area. I know you're in the Midwest over yonder, thereabouts. That could be kind
of
sweet.
Yeah, I'm a few hours north of Chicago, and I'm going to be leaving at the end of the year. I got transferred by the military out to Pennsylvania, which was not my first, second, or third choice, or any choice for that matter.
Do you know like which city, or it's just open?
South of Pittsburgh. I tried to get Puerto Rico. I wanted to go to Puerto Rico really bad.
Oh, that would be sweet.
And, that would have been nice.
Maybe next time.
Forced me to go to the Caribbean for 2 years. I'll think about doing it, but no, I got Pennsylvania instead, which is kind of a blessing.
It's lovely. I've been to Pittsburgh. I spent maybe a little less than a week there. I thought it was really cool. I don't know, and I think I spent like maybe a day in Philly, but I didn't see anything. So
Philly's crazy.
I
don't like Philly at all. I'm not a fan of Philly at all.
So
I have a.
Oh no.
I had a. Yeah,
it's
I'm a little bitter.
It's a great city. I want to go. I want to see what it's like. That's terrible.
They're like as of me from New York. Philly's kind of they're like dirty stepbrothers.
Wait, you're from New York?
I was born and raised in Buffalo, but I've been stationed in central New York and then a couple other spots in New York. So I'm a resident born and raised of the entire state of New York.
Oh, nice. So like Albany, do you like Albany?
Albany's not bad at all. A lot of history.
I think
it's
very pretty.
History buff, and I love architecture. I'm a big architecture fan, and
I like the
Albany
foliage.
Area.
I like it in the fall. I like the leaves. I like all the space, like semi-wildernessy type thing. I don't know. I like Albany. I don't believe I've been to Buffalo though.
It's really nice. If you like Pittsburgh,
cold,
Buffalo, it's kind
right?
of the same. In the wintertime, everywhere in the Northeast is cold.
Yeah.
The food is phenomenal. The food is great. I'm going to be a complete homer right now and say that some of the best food, I think, in the country is in Buffalo. And the architecture, Frank Lloyd Wright had worked in New York.
Okay. What specifically as far as food? Which are you referring to meat? Which type? Like red meat or... some sort of, what in particular, what's the dish that's like
chicken
better
wings.
Than everything else? Really?
Chicken wings. They were started in Buffalo. Everybody in the country calls them hot wings or buffalo wings, but they're started in Buffalo and they're chicken wings. And they're great.
Huh.
They're phenomenal. And a lot of hearty food. I don't know how I'm not 300 pounds from living there, but it's... beef on weck, that's an interesting dish, and there's quite a few others. The pizza is really good. It's like a cross in between New York and Chicago style pizza. So the pizza in Buffalo is very, very interesting.
Ah, okay, all right. And sorry, I interrupted you. As far as architecture, you were saying.
Oh yeah, Frank Lloyd Wright. He has a lot of work that he did during his career. Is in Buffalo. I don't know if you know about Frank Lloyd Wright at all, but he was a great architect. And
no, I don't. I'm a
yeah. You should look him up. He's got some work in Arizona and Wisconsin and Illinois, Pennsylvania, and New York. He's really, really ahead of his time. So.
Hmm.
But that's the nerd part of Silent J, is when I start talking about architecture and wine.
That's
and
awesome.
Things of that nature.
That's awesome. Did you say wine?
Yes, I am I'm a huge fan of wine. That's another reason why I want to go to Europe.
Nice. What's your preferred brand?
I have this one. I don't think it's not a really expensive bottle of wine. But the thing with me, I think anything over $50 is just a waste of money, because you can get some really good wines for $40 and $50. No $2 bottles of wine. I'm not talking about the boxes of wine, but there's one. It's Monte Antico. It's an Italian blend, and it's kind of got my palate right now, and it's got a kick to it. It's a blend of I know I'm going to butcher it, Sangiovese, I think, and Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. It's a really interesting taste.
Huh.
So, that's what I drink
like...
when I'm...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. It's your show.
Now, one of my favorite, or two of my favorites are, it's Marlborough from New Zealand. It's a white wine. And Sancerre, the white Sancerre from France. Those are both, like, two of my top of all time, like, all-time favorite wines. Excellent. And they're not terribly expensive. There's different, you know, different brands, which vary in price, but they're just, I don't know, it's awesome. So it's cool that you like wine as well. That's cool.
See, I'm just getting into the white wine. I like I have a stronger palate. I like rich foods, and I like dark beer and red wine and dark chocolate.
Well, yeah.
So
definitely.
They all kind of go together.
For
so
sure. Yes.
I was dating this girl who got me into white wine, and she had spent some time in French. She could speak French, and but she's a jerk. And she actually got me into white wine. No, I'm just a little bitter, that's all.
Oh,
okay. I hold a grudge. But she got me into white wine, and I think one of the best white wines I ever had was from New Zealand as well. So they make a good product.
Yes, yes. Mm. And let's see, who are your favorite punk rock bands? And did any of those punk rock bands, like, add into your... being controversial on the radio, or no?
Yes, the whole spirit of punk rock and skateboarding growing up, and the tattoos, and just that whole you know, set your own trends, really kind of shaped who I am, and you know, what I do and what I am to this day. I like the old stuff, you know, the Ramones, the Sex Pistols, but the New York Dolls are one of my favorites. And I'm not a fan of 90s California punk at all. Green Day and The Offspring, I don't count as punk. I don't.
Uh-huh.
It's like pop music to me. but there's bands, Agnostic Front. They're more of a hardcore punk rock, and The Misfits and Social Distortion. So those are some of my favorites.
Nice.
I mean, then I got some.
And wait, do you have tattoos?
That I've listened to. Do I have tattoos? Yes, I do.
Yeah. Like, yes. Tons or one?
if I had to put a number count on it, maybe 20.
Oh, my. Is that counting?
Yeah. Well, some of them kind of blend into each other, and some of them are two that turned into one, and so I guess 20. I got a lot of time in a chair. Let's put it that way.
Wow. I need a photo for verification purposes.
Well, it just so happens that this is one of my cheap plugs. I'm very good at that. I am going to be in a movie short next year. We're gonna start filming next year. It's kind of a horror movie. It's called The Way Down. It's in the pre-production stages right now. The Way Down, yes, it is about a individual who doesn't treat women right, and finally, you know, he's kind of like a killer, like a classy killer. If you think like American Psycho, he's Christian Bale,
oh.
and
stole my heart. I love Christian Bale.
Yeah, so I'm not gay, but I would go gay for Christian Bale's character in American Psycho.
Oh, I love you. That's awesome.
There's just something about Amanda and a chainsaw that really gets me going.
What? Yes.
Awesome. My favorite scene in that is when he played Huey Lewis in the News, and he grabbed the axe and he went after, and he did away with Paul.
Yeah, while waxing poetic all along the way. Yes. Oh my goodness.
But
wow.
the way down is it's a man that he finally a woman has some revenge and gets him in. I play the character Mel Billy, who is the gatekeeper to hell or heaven. I'm just the gatekeeper, let's put it that way. And heaven or hell, I'm kind of like the doorman for purgatory. And I take you on your journey to whichever stop you're getting off at. I'm the man for it. And it's going to be interesting. I know I'm friends with the individual who's the writer, and he's going to write it and produce it and direct it. I think he kind of specifically had me in mind for the part. He wanted to do like a 50s greaser New Yorker with a smart mouth, so he said I'd be perfect for it. I didn't even have to audition. So.
Right on.
So
wow.
You might be able to see my tattoos in my film debut.
And where will that be showing? Is that going to be available online or in theaters, art houses, all of the above?
You know, if it was up to me, it would be played at Cannes, at Tribeca, but probably not. I think it's going to be a local release, and then it's going to be an online release. And
okay.
Hopefully,
is
when I become
like
rich and famous, it'll be a sought-after item.
Yes. And where, like, is there a website right now, like, for pending production or any of this type of thing where anybody can tune or, see it as it grows, or do we all have to just wait?
I think it's a wait and see. I think he's going to have some trailer releases on YouTube, but that's really about it. He's also my webmaster for my website. He's a very talented kid. His name's Travis, and he did a lot of good work for my website, and he's helped me with kind of branch out and what I wanted to do. And
when you mention your website, are you referring to Facebook? Or
separate. Oh, no. The I don't even want to plug my own website because I haven't done any work on it in months. He redid it and he kind of brought it up to speed, and I haven't done anything with it since. But it's called the Junk Punch, and that kind of stems off from my Blog Talk Radio show, the Junk
right.
Punch. And but I should do more work on that. I get caught up with one project and I don't see through another. That's been my problem.
You'll get around to it, I'm sure. But you should ask Travis if he was inspired at all by stuff like No Exit by Sartre, or any of these types of things. Because I know there's, as far as what you're talking about, sort of the theme of the movie, there's one other work that's, like, escaping my mind right now by a different author, but it kind of makes me think of No Exit by Jean-Paul Sartre, where there's all these people in a room, and they have to face their own demons and the demons of others all at the same time, and they can't get out, kind of thing.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like it.
What was it? It was the first annual North American Film Festival in France in 2006. I was the translator for that. It was like a little film festival with all independent directors from North America, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. And there's a movie by a Canadian female director who had something somewhat similar, but it was all in a car, or a couple on an endless sort of road to nowhere sort of thing. So it's always cool to see that kind of theme reimagined and, you know, realized, I suppose. I don't know, that sounds cool.
That sounds very cool. And if I could do another cheap plug,
yeah.
I was kind of inspired from having some of my guests on, past guests such as yourself. And I started writing a book, and so that'll be out next
yeah.
year as well. That's going to be very interesting, and so it's a work in progress.
Is this autobiographical?
Quest. Yes, it is. It's going to be a story of myself from when I was younger, for a few instances of my life growing up, and then the military, and after Iraq, and my radio and my comedy career, and you know, it's going to be an interesting read. It's not going to be your typical, you know, I was a soldier and I went to battle book. No, it's going to be a good book. It's the title is going to be called the Book of Joe. It's going to be a good book.
Book of Joe. Nice.
And that's why I think everything ties in together, because I've started writing the book, and I'm being transferred to Pennsylvania, and I got hooked up with a friend of mine in the military. He's actually got a company. They do work for soldiers and folks in the military who are trying to get started with publishing a book. It's called Tactical 16, the number 16.com. And they've released a couple books so far. And my buddy, he was on Fox News promoting it, and they do a lot of work for local small grassroots organizations that help soldiers. And I'm going to be starting a radio show for those guys, so I'm going to be the voice of Tactical 16 sometime early next year. And I think that'll be good. So we're gonna help each other out. I'm going to host a radio show, and he's going to help me with his book, my buddy Eric. And but yeah, check out tactical16.com, and we're looking to maybe do a calendar. And if I could get one of the months, maybe I'll pick a month and have you, Sandra, be a calendar girl.
Oh my Lord, I would love that. That would be awesome. Yes, I accept if asked. Yes, that would be sweet.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's yeah, like I said, the company and the website, they try to it's an artistic release for soldiers and sailors and airmen and things of that nature, and so we're trying to get our name out there and help guys that you know, were in my shoes like years ago and had a dream and wanted to do something but didn't have the platform to launch ourselves out of, and so that's what we're gonna do. And money is always an issue nowadays, and I think the best way to grab people's attention is to have a bunch of hot women, maybe in some military gear, on a calendar. So you could be May. That's my birth month is May, and I would love if Sandra London was gracing the month of May.
Right on. Yes, may I? Yes, I may. I would. Can I be silly? Yes, that would be fun. Yes, if asked, I would be more than happy to do so. Tell me about your comedy. And is there any way that you're broadcasting, your radio broadcasting and comedy are interrelated? Was it thought of to do both at the same time? So I remember when I was, on your show, there was a lot of humor and a lot of fun off-the-cuff remarks. Is that something incidental or something that, like, I don't know?
Yeah, it was very calculated in my life. Like I said, I love music and I love radio and comedy. I grew up, you know, idolizing certain DJs on the radio and certain,
like,
bands.
Who?
And
which DJs are your favorites?
Obviously Howard Stern, because he kind of broke the mold on certain things. Opie and Anthony, I love Opie and Anthony. There are a couple of local DJs from the Buffalo area called Shred and Reagan, and I grew up listening to those guys, and I just loved the freedom that they had to be able to express themselves and also play music and be funny and be serious. And there's AM radio. I listen to AM radio as well. I'll listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't maybe agree with Rush Limbaugh, but I'll listen to him individuals like that.
I like K-pop.
Even that weird guy. What's that guy? That coast-to-coast guy in the middle of the night.
Phil Hendry? Do you know Phil Hendry?
Phil Hendry, yes.
Oh, my goodness. He is hysterical. I love Phil Hendry. He's funny. He has, like, tons of different voices and personalities on his show.
Yes.
He's awesome. He was probably my favorite as far as, like, nighttime or comedy type thing. And I like Randy Rhoads for, like, AM talk, like, political talk. I don't know.
Yeah, I like Randy Rhoads a lot. Like I said, I don't dislike any DJs on the air. I may not agree with what they say, but it's an art form. If you could sit behind a microphone and captivate somebody's attention for a few hours, you know, of the day, I think it's awesome. And I looked at that as the same as comedy. I grew up listening to Red Fox and Richard Pryor and
ooh,
Bill Cosby and George
Fox.
Carlin.
Yes, George Carlin.
I love those guys, and I took that as the same way as radio. Like, you could sit down for 3, 4, 5 hours on radio, or you could be up on stage for 10, 15, 20 minutes and have the same effect. And I took everything that ever happened to me in a negative way in my life, whether it was self-induced or somebody around me that, you know, that pissed me off or hurt me, and I kind of took it and disformed it and disfigured it, and I made it funny, you know, whether it was, an ex that cheated on me or, you know, somebody that stole from me or whatever the case may be, and I made it funny, and it was a coping mechanism. I don't like, I'm very, very public, with radio and comedy and music, but excuse me, at the same time, very private, where I don't like to do a one-on-one, you know, let's say, you know, a family member or a loved one and talk about my feelings. So I went on stage and I had two things to accomplish, kind of make people laugh or angry at me. A boo and a laugh is the same. It's a response, you know. If somebody's quiet in the audience, and that's a bad thing. But if they're booing me, I'm doing something right, or if they're laughing, and I'm doing something right. And also, at the same time, I get this stuff off my chest. Nobody realizes that, wow, that stuff actually happened to them. So it's a good release.
And what about your time on tours of service? Did you use a lot of humor to get through, you know, the ambiguous, perhaps dangerous times that you and your comrades kind of, I don't know, like to amuse yourself with either comedy, like, I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Playing the dozens or making up stuff or watching comedies, watching movies.
I was doing stand-up. The last time I was overseas, I was doing stand-up, but I didn't have a mission. There was a tent, it's called the MWR tent, the Morale Welfare and Recreation Tent, where soldiers can kind of unwind and play video games or play music or read books or whatever. And there was a microphone and there was a little stage, and I saw one night some guys playing guitars up there, and I just decided to start my comedy career right then and there. And I had done one open mic night prior to that in the States, and it was rough. It was good, but it was rough. I think my friends kind of supported me more than they should have. So I really learned how to cut my teeth in comedy being overseas, because I couldn't swear. They wouldn't let me say anything, you know, bad or negative, because you had to be, you know, politically correct. So
you weren't allowed
able
to swear?
Believe that or not, you know.
Whoa.
So I learned how to tell a dirty joke without being dirty, and I learned how to use crude humor without actually being crude. So it was good. So when I actually did come home and was doing comedy in the States, you know, and I was able to, you know, you know, say a bad word or talk about something really grotesque or insensitive. You know, sometimes if I, you know, wanted to pepper my humor or not, I could do it, and I got the same reaction and same response. So I kind of learned a lot with comedy.
Yeah.
And
it forced you to work
form.
Within the lines.
And that's sometimes I blur things, and that's where my comedy show, well, my radio show is my interest in politics and government and radio and music and humor and kind of making people feel uneasy. It's a blend of that on my BPR show, and then my local show. It's toned down, but sometimes I kind of go over the edge, which is fine by me. So.
And do you see a different or do you feel a different effect from when you're in a different medium and you're using comedy as your method or your platform, like I guess radio as opposed to live, where people can see you and like your movements and this kind of thing, or radio where you can only use kind of your voice or like sound effects or something? Do you feel like it's the same? It's just as easy, or like?
It's to me. I think radio is. It's easier for me, but at the same time, I think it's harder because when you're on stage, if you're telling a joke and it's not getting a good response, you can sense that off people's faces and people's reactions immediately. Whereas radio, you don't know if you're doing good or if you don't know if you're doing bad right then and there. So, but it's also easier radio for me because it's like my own little fortress of solitude. I go into the studio and I sit down, I got the microphone in front of me, and I do my thing.
Right.
Yeah, but being on stage, again, with, you know, when you can sense that something's going over really well, you know, you get that good feeling. But at the same time, if it's doing bad, there's no escape. You're on stage, and that's it. You feel vulnerable. It's almost like feeling naked. You know, it's like being that Asian guy, you know, in the shower. You know, you're standing out.
That's terrible. Oh my goodness! No exit. Oh, yes, Mr. Silent J. Okay, well, we're coming down to the end of the show, but I did want to go ahead and do two last plugs on your behalf, which is your Facebook page, which is facebook.com/joseph.stojic. STOJEK.
Mm-hmm.
And your Twitter at Silent J Comedy. And I'll do that one more time. Facebook.com/Joseph.STOJEK. And Twitter at Silent J JAY Comedy. And thank you so much. And I would love to be Miss May.
Regardless, you're Miss May to me all the time.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, and you gotta be on the Junk Punch again.
Yes. Oh yeah, I want to, definitely. Let me know when space is available. I will be right there ready to go live. It'll be awesome. Cool. Good night, sir.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Good night. And to take us out this evening, I will have the song Bedtime by Cloudmouse. Here you go.
all you sexy naked girls radio listeners, have yourself a naked day and make it a naughty night with me, Sandra London, on Playtime with Sandra every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.